Hello everyone and welcome. This is Michael and I'm going to be leading our Bible thought and prayer in this midweek podcast. We're now in our fourth week of not meeting together on a Sunday. In some ways I find I'm getting used to this new way of life, but Rose and I really missed being able to be with you and others in a Maundy Thursday supper, Good Friday meditation service and of course Easter Day celebration and communion. I'm sure that there are many things which you feel you are missing out on at the moment. Doing things with family and friends. Outings in the glorious sunny weather we've had over the last few days. Sport on TV. Meals out. I've been missing some of the regular activities that shape my week, like choir practice and table tennis. Yet it helps, I think, to know that everyone else is missing out on these things too. But sometimes we find that we are left out of something that lots of other people seem to be included in, and that can really hurt. Imagine, in better times, being out in your garden on a warm summer's day. From two doors away you hear the sound of much chatter and laughter, the clink of glasses, and drifting over the fence the unmistakable aromas of a barbecue. As you hear voices raised, you realise that some of your other neighbours are there. They were invited to the party, but you weren't. Or maybe you remember that time when you found out that a number of your colleagues had gone out for a drink after work the day before, but hadn't thought to include you. It's hard feeling left out of things. That was the situation for the disciple Thomas in the passage from John chapter 20 that we're going to look at now. Do have your Bibles open. I'm going to be reading from verse 24. But first, let me pray. Father, we thank you that your word stands forever. Please may your spirit work in us to teach us and encourage us from these verses now. For Jesus' sake, amen. So we're going to pick up the story, John 20, verse 24, as Jesus has appeared to his disciples gathered in a locked room on the evening of that first Easter day. Now Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands, and put my finger where the nails were, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe it." A week later his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Well, we don't know why Thomas wasn't with the others on Easter Sunday, but there is no implied criticism of his absence. But in God's providence, he used Thomas' absence to teach us an important truth, as well as, I think, to shape Thomas's character. There seems to be both a stubbornness and a pride in Thomas's response in verse 25. "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe it." Clearly he feels hurt that he's missed out on Jesus' visit. And his response is to set out the terms on which he will believe. I wonder if that resonates with us. Have you ever said, "I'll believe in Jesus if this happens," or "I won't believe unless that happens"? In my early 20s, when I was going through what seemed like a long period of depression, I said something like this to the Lord, "If you'll heal me, then I'll follow you properly." But it is not for us to set out the terms for belief which God has to meet if he wants us in his kingdom. It sounds ridiculous when put like that, doesn't it? He is the sovereign Lord. We're in no position to negotiate the terms of faith. It is pride and stubbornness that makes us respond like Thomas. And the danger is that it makes us harden our heart against the Lord. I think Thomas recognises that he's overstepped the mark when he eventually sees Jesus for himself a week later. His response then is immediate. Verse 28, "My Lord and my God." Although Jesus has invited him to put his finger in the nail wounds and his hand in Jesus' side, he doesn't need to do so because he has already been convicted and repented of his unbelief. Just like I didn't need the healing for which I prayed in my 20s to trust Jesus truly. The question then is, on what basis should we believe? Well, look at verse 29. "Then Jesus told him, 'Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed.'" Within a few weeks of that first Easter day, Jesus had ascended and returned to his Father in heaven. We cannot see him as Thomas and the other disciples did. So does Jesus expect us just to believe in him anyway? Like we could choose to believe that the coronavirus was caused by the rollout of the 5G network. Well, please don't believe that, by the way. No, the reason Thomas earns this mild rebuke from the Lord Jesus is that he has spurned the evidence that the Lord has already provided of his being alive, namely the witness of the other apostles. Look at verse 25. "They told him, 'We have seen the Lord.' But Thomas refused to accept their witness." What Jesus is saying is that from now on, people must believe not on the basis of seeing Jesus in the flesh, but of listening to the witness of the apostles. In God's superb plan, he's caused that witness to be faithfully recorded for us in the New Testament scriptures. Not just the fact of Jesus being alive, but the detail and interpretation of all the events of Jesus' life through the Spirit's inspiration of the apostolic eyewitnesses and ear witnesses. As Hebrews 2 verse 1 says, "We must pay more careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard," and implicitly for us, what we have read in the Bible, "so that we do not drift away." I expect that most of us are spending more time than usual listening to, watching, or reading the news. That's not surprising. But let's also be those who give ourselves to feeding daily on God's word, listening to what the Spirit says through his apostolic witness, so that with our spiritual eyes we might see the Lord ever more clearly. Let's pray. I'm going to lead us in a few prayers now. Father, we thank you that in your word you have given us all the evidence we need to believe in Jesus as our risen Lord. Please help us to treasure this apostolic witness by making it our daily bread. And may your Holy Spirit enable us to see beyond words on a page to the Word who became flesh for us, who died on the cross for us, and rose again for us. Amen. Father, we pray for our mission partners, Alan and Debbie Burt, and their family and their church family and community in Heidevelt, as they too face this global pandemic that is so much on our minds. We pray for your mercy on them, with the virus and the lockdown threatening to bring increases in domestic abuse and criminal activity, in starvation and death for many. We pray, Lord, that you will work through this tragedy to save many, giving them the knowledge of eternal life through Jesus. We thank you for the Sunday school packs that St. Thomas's Church were able to get to families before the lockdown. Thank you for parents using these to teach their children. Thank you that church members are able to access sermons through WhatsApp. Please, may your people at St. Thomas's be built up in Christ, as they too feed on your word. And may they be beacons of hope in these difficult days. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And finally, a prayer for this week from the 1662 Book of Common Prayer. The words of this are included in the email. Almighty God, who through thy only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, hast overcome death, and opened unto us the gate of everlasting life, we humbly beseech thee, that, as by thy special grace preventing us, thou dost put into our minds good desires, so by thy continual help we may bring the same to good effect through Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Amen. Amen. Well, that's it for now. Thank you for listening in. Keep trusting in the Lord, keep praying, and do join us again on Sunday.